good morning, Active Church Online. It's so good to have you all joining us this morning. My name is Josh, and I'm excited to bring the talk this morning. Before we get started, can we show some love for our pastor, Adam, and his wife, Stacy? Come on, they're awesome. I'm so appreciative of their leadership. What a dynamic speaker he is. And honestly, there's no one that I'd rather serve under than Pastor Adam. Can you just show some love in the comments section for Pastor Adam and his wife, Stacy? Listen, let me lead in this morning with this question. During this time of COVID-19, like, how's your faith? How's your faith in God? How's your confidence in God? If you have your Bibles with you this morning there in your living room, if you'd open it up to John chapter 11 and just follow along, we're going to read the story of a miracle of a man named Lazarus. He was literally dead for 4 days before God acted and moved. And if you're at a place this morning where maybe your faith is shaken, maybe you're at a place where you're wondering, like, God, where are you in all of this? I'm believing that this story of the miracle that took place in John chapter 11 is going to speak to you this morning and encourage you. So let's start in John chapter 11, verse 1. This is what it says. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, which Mary is this? It tells us in the very next verse, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one that poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. And so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. Let's pause right there and put yourself for a moment into that story. And what you can see going on is that there are some loved ones who are panicking. They're in a moment of panic and a moment of worry. Someone that they love, someone that they care about, is about to die. And they're saying, Jesus, like, we've seen you perform miracles. We know what you can do. And we need you to come and help Lazarus. Like we need you to come quickly. We need some help now. Things are not good and they're looking worse. Jesus, we need your help. And in verse chapter 4, Jesus responds. Look at what it says. John 11, verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. In other words, it's looking bad, but it's not going to end the way that you think it is. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, things don't look good on your timetable, but what you need to understand is that God's got divine strategy. Like, there is something going on behind the scenes. And when I'm through with this, Jesus is saying that I'm going to work such a miracle that everyone is going to know that it was only God who could have changed this situation around. There may be some this morning that maybe you're facing some things. Maybe things are going the wrong way and you just don't understand it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where God is. I don't know what's happening. But can you hear the voice of God this morning? This sickness, this situation in your life will not end in death. God's got divine strategy. Have you ever watched the movie Rocky, series number 4? Rocky is fighting that Russian fighter, Ivan Drago. And man, Ivan, man, he is beating the tar out of Rocky. And Rocky's trainer calls him over. He's like, Rocky, what's going on? And Rocky's like, yo, I got strategy. Like, he was letting this Russian just go to town on him, blow after blow. And then at the end, when no one expected it, Rocky was going to come back and take the Russian out. And right now, friend, you may be taking some blows from the enemy. But don't worry, God's saying, I've got divine strategy, and this situation is not going to end in death. I hate scary movies. Like, if there's anything that I hate in life, it's scary movies. Freddy Krueger, of the devil. I hate scary movies. How many of you have ever watched the movie Sixth Sense? Don't watch it if you don't like scary movies. It's the scariest of all scary movies. And do you remember the little boy in that movie? Like, he was possessed by the devil. And he whispers, he says, I want to tell you my secret now. Do you remember what his secret was? He said, I see dead people. Like, I get chills just saying it now. I hate scary movies, but friend, I got to tell you, I have a secret to tell you this morning. That I see dead people. And you do too. You just don't realize it. I see dead people. When I go to the grocery store, when I'm pumping gas, I see dead people. Did you know that you can be dead and alive all at the same time? Like, alive on the outside and dying on the inside. I see dead people. So do you. 1 Timothy 5 and 6, it says, but the widow who lives for pleasure, she is dead even while she lives. Dead people, alive on the outside, but relationally dead. Marriages, like, you're living in the same house, but you're barely more than roommates. Financially dead, consumed with debt and bills that can't be paid. Dreams that are dead. Circumstances and disappointments that have killed the dreams that once got you out of bed in the morning. Faith that is dead. Situations that have you doubting God and his love for you. I see dead people, alive on the outside, but dead on the inside. And as we talk about the story of Lazarus, guess what? He died. And maybe, just maybe, there's something on the inside of you this morning that's dying. And the whole theme of my talk this morning is that God wants to bring life back to every area of your life. Let me summarize the story of Lazarus. Jesus heard that his good buddy Lazarus was dying and that he actually died. And Jesus, man, he waited 2 days before he even responded, before he even reacted. 2 days, and then he finally said, okay, let's go on this journey and go back and see my loved ones and Lazarus that's dying. And he told his disciples, he said, hey, come on, boys, we're going back to Judea. And his disciples were like, whoa, Jesus, hold up. Like, do you remember what happened when we left Judea? Like, they were trying to kill you. They're trying to take you out. Like, where we are here is good. Like, it's safe. Going back there, like, that's bad. They're gonna try to attack you. They're gonna try to take you out. And Jesus was like, no, you don't understand. Lazarus, my buddy, like, he's sleeping. What he should have said is Lazarus has died. But Jesus said, my boy, Lazarus is sleeping. I gotta go wake him up. So they traveled there, and as they're traveling back to Lazarus, we come across in this story 3 different characters. And the 3 different characters that we see here, guess what? They're alive on the outside, but they're dead on the inside. Something inside was dead. Maybe you can relate to one or more of them this morning. The first person that we come into contact with in this story is Thomas. And if you know Bible trivia, you know that Thomas is known for what? Doubting Thomas. Thomas was dead in his doubts. Jesus, he just said, let's go back. We got to go see Lazarus. And the disciples said, no, we can't go back. They're going to kill you. And in verse 16 of chapter 11, we get a glimpse of Thomas and his perspective and his sarcasm. Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, oh, sure. Great idea, Jesus. Let's go back so that we can all die with him. Doubting Thomas, like things aren't good. And they're just going to get worse. Some of you, maybe on the inside, there are some very real spiritual doubts. I'm reminded of a boy and his mom that in their home, they had a basement. And the mom had her pantry set up there in the basement. And the boy was scared to death to go down into the basement. Like he thought, you know, monsters live down there. And the mom all the time would say, son, go downstairs to the pantry and get me something. He's like, no, I'm scared. I can't go down there. And the mom was fed up finally. And she said, listen, son, the only person that lives in the basement is Jesus. And the boy is like, Jesus lives in the basement? And she's like, yes, you don't have to be scared. And so the boy went and he opened the door to the basement and he looked down there. He said, hey, Jesus, can you toss me a can of tomato soup? It's a dad joke. But just because he's there, it doesn't always feel like he's there. Many of you right now, maybe, man, you have been praying for something. And it seems like heaven is silent. You're wondering, God, I'm praying and nothing is happening. Like, are you real? And if you're real, like, are you there? And if you're there, like, are you good? Can you do something? And if you can, then why aren't you? I don't understand. And some of you, you're like Thomas and you're dying on the inside with real doubt. And then we come into contact with Martha. I think many of you can relate to Martha. She was dead in her delay. Martha was dead in her delay. What was the problem? Jesus, he was taking too long to get anything done. And she was about to let him know. Look at verse 17 of chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Like, there's dead and then there's really dead. And after 4 days, that's when you get to the point of like really dead, like things start stinking. At verse 21, here's the delay. Martha says to Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. If you had only been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. Like, what took you so long? Should have only taken you less than a day to get here, and it took you 4 days. Dead in her delay. Some of you can relate. You're married and you're praying that God will make things better, and nothing is changing. Delay. Some of you, maybe you're sick in your body and you've been praying and asking God for healing and nothing has changed. Delay. We've been meeting every Wednesday night and we've been praying 2 Chronicles 7:14 and the coronavirus is still here, dead in her delay. Thomas was dead in his doubts. Martha was delay. And then Mary, we come across Mary and she's probably the most difficult. She was dead in her discouragement. Dead in her discouragement. Verse 20, check it out. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. What did Mary do? Mary, she just stayed at home. Can you just feel the discouragement? Can you sense the disappointment? Like, why even bother? nothing's going to happen. He's already dead. There's no use. There's no hope. The discouragement. Like, what in your life is dead? What in your life is dying? Can you relate to Thomas who doubted? Can you relate to Martha who was wondering what took God so long to show up? Can you relate to Mary? There's no hope. I'm throwing in the towel. But watch what Jesus does in verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, it says that Jesus was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. Like Jesus was, he was hurting. Not only were Mary and Martha and the other Jews hurting, but Jesus was hurting. And in verse 35, it says this, that Jesus wept. He wept. Think about how powerful it is. Think about the irony of all this. He is the Son of God. And at any moment now, he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Any moment he could do it. Any moment he can perform a miracle. But instead, what did Jesus do? He wept. Why? Because that is how much Jesus feels and how much Jesus cares for his people. That's how much he cares. He was weeping because you were hurting. He was crying because the people that he loved, they were hurting. Say, Josh, where is Jesus today? Like, where is he in all of this? I got to turn to scripture to tell you where he is, because the scripture says that Jesus is high and exalted, and he's sitting at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing right now? The scripture says that he's praying for you. But I've got to believe that he's not only praying for you. Friend, he is crying for you. Because when you hurt, he hurts. And right now, the Son of God sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. Some of you right now, you're in this season, and you're in between death and the power of resurrection. And you're in this delay. You don't see it. You don't feel it. Doubts are real. The delay is obvious. You're in a season of discouragement. But during that season, friend, you could be confident that God is with you. You may not see it, and you may not feel it, but he will hold you, and he will keep you, and he will surround you despite your doubt, despite your discouragement. Never forget this, that God's delays are not God's denials. Joseph, he had a great promise, and guess what? He was in prison for over 2 years. Moses, he had a great promise, and guess what? He wandered in the desert for 40 years. Noah built a boat while there was no sign of rain. Paul built tents for 10 years, waiting, waiting, and waiting, and delay after delay, and God's delays are not God's denials. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus take that journey back to Judea to meet with Lazarus? Jesus came to bring life. That's his sole purpose. He came so that you and I could live the God kind of life. In John chapter 10, like we get a glimpse of Jesus' mission statement and the enemy's mission statement. It's all in the same verse. Look at John chapter 10:10. Here is the enemy's mission statement. It says, the thief, the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And now we flip over to see Jesus' mission statement. Jesus said, but I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full, the God kind of life. Jesus came to bring life to you and I. And you know what I think some of us need to do this morning? Like, we just need to stop dressing like a dead man. Like, we need to stop looking like we belong in a tomb. Like, we need to stop speaking like a dead man. Stop thinking like a dead man. Stop acting like a dead man. Jesus came so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Stop talking like there's no hope. Stop believing the lie of the enemy and hear this morning the promise of God that this will not end in death. It's going to end much different than you may think in your head. And watch what Jesus did. He looked up to heaven and he prayed. He said, move the stone from the tomb. In verse 43, Jesus called out in a loud voice. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. His hands, his feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said, catch this, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Like, Lazarus, take off anything that resembles death. Take it off. Like, get rid of those dead things. Scripture says you were dead in your transgressions. You were dead in your sin, but you are alive in Christ. Take off those negative thoughts. Stop that negative thinking. Come away from the dead stuff. Because all things are possible with God. Dead for 4 days is not dead in God's world. And God has a way of speaking to dead things and bringing them back to life. What's dead on the inside of you this morning? This is a time like no other in the history of America. Every day we are updated with the number of deaths related to coronavirus. So many dreams in America have been crushed. So many are discouraged by isolation and social distancing. So many have lost their jobs and suffering financially. And there is such a sense of fear and worry and anxiety. And I feel like Mary and Martha must have that Jesus, the people that you love, like, we're sick. We are in need of help. Like, where are you? And this morning, I want to simply remind you of Jesus' response that this will not end in death. Because his whole purpose of coming to earth was to bring life. That's why Scripture says, oh death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, because Jesus is the giver of life. Verse 25, the story ends by Jesus saying this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, they'll live even though he may die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And Jesus ends that statement with this question, do you believe? Do you believe? That's the heart of the gospel. Do you believe? God, we're thankful that you came to bring life and life more abundantly. And Lord, in this atmosphere of fear and anxiety and worry and uncertainty, God, we are thankful that we can trust on what's certain, and that's your word, that's your promises. And we're thankful that you came to bring life. So I pray that you do just that this morning. Bring life in every dead area of our life. Bring life to every home that's listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us.